It is the Monday morning show on 91.7 KEXE, 90.5 KBXE. Thanks for choosing Northern Community Radio this morning. We're talking politics. Of course, it's election day tomorrow. Sam Brody is MinnPost's Washington correspondent. In his recent article, he took a look at the District 8 campaign between Representative Nolan and Stuart Mills III. Sam is back with us on Northern Community Radio now. Hi, Sam. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, good to be with you both.
Well, it's hard to believe, but is it true that the most expensive U.S. congressional race in the nation is right here in northern Minnesota?
Yep. Well, if you're seeing those ads up there and getting those mailers, maybe it doesn't seem so far-fetched. But yes, we have the most expensive U.S. House race in the country. Earlier in the year, folks were wondering if this race might be as expensive as it was last time. When Stuart Mills first ran against Nolan in 2014, this was in the top 10. And now this is pretty much far and away number one. It beats the next most expensive race by about $3 or $4 million when you tally up all the spending. So it's certainly watched by both parties on a national level.
Well, the article that you wrote is called Forget Social Media, Rick Nolan's Campaign Keeps It Old School. Tell us a little bit more about that, about how they are campaigning.
Yeah, so, Nolan is, he was first elected to Congress in the 70s and sort of has the style of a old school sort of Democratic political operator. He relies heavily on labor unions. That's sort of what I talked about in my article, sort of using his supporters in labor to do some of the hard sort of grassroots work of politics, something Lieutenant Governor Smith said was sort of like the secret sauce of politics. So door knocking and making calls using labor sort of databases to target supporters. And this stuff really does make a difference. And it's sort of an advantage, organizationally at least, that DFLers in the state tend to have over Republicans. But when you talk to Nolan and his supporters in labor, they often do sort of scoff at social media and go, we don't need that. Obviously, he has a social media presence, and if you want to run for office in 2016, it's sort of part of the gig. But there really is this sort of belief in sort of the old school turnout mechanisms, and I think whether or not Nolan wins tomorrow is going to be contingent on how well that this system worked.
So this is a tight race, is my understanding.
Absolutely, yeah. This is a tight race. There's a couple of sort of organizations that do political handicapping out of Washington, and they rate races as leaning Democrat or leaning Republican or toss-up. And for most of this race, this was rated as a lean Democrat. In the past few weeks, you have a lot of those organizations moving this into the true toss-up column. So there is a sense that this is pretty close. The one sort of public poll we have done by KSTP had Mills up by 4 points. That's still within the margin of error. I think both candidates are campaigning like this is a tight race. Nolan told me he always campaigns like 4 or 5 points behind anyway. But yeah, this is going to be a really tight one. And in 2014, Nolan won by 1.4%, so that's about 3,500 votes, and I wouldn't be surprised if whoever wins this time wins by a similar margin.
So how is Stuart Mills approaching the campaign, reaching his voters? What are some of the key themes?
Yeah, so Mills, it's interesting. Mills is running 14 versus Mills is run this time around because obviously Trump is the factor now. I think Mills has correctly gauged that, Trump is something that could really help him in this race. The 8th district is, Trump performed really well there on caucus night. Most polling has Trump ahead of Clinton in the 8th district by double digits. This region will go big for Trump tomorrow. Governor Mike Pence is in Duluth today. I think that's sort of a sign of the opportunities that the Trump camp sees in this part of Minnesota. So Mills isn't exactly running a Trump-style campaign, but he's kind of honing in on some of those messages and is hitting Nolan on some of the Clinton stuff, and is kind of relying on some of his tried and true stuff like healthcare, has hammered Nolan over that, especially in the wake of some of the Minshew news and some of the Obamacare news out of Washington. But he does continue to hit Nolan on mining, and some folks I talked to questioned how effective that might be, just given that the Iron Range has tended to be the bedrock of DFL support and Nolan's constituency for sure. Some people believe that Trump has converted some of those Iron Range voters to Republican, at least this cycle, so maybe Mills believes he can tap into that.
We are talking with the MinnPost reporter, Sam Brody. He is the Washington correspondent. We're talking about the contentious race for District 8. So it's an interesting district. What is your take on it? First of all, like geographically, what does it include? And what do you think stands out on District 8 for you?
Yeah, District 8 is really big. It's about the size of West Virginia. It's one of the larger congressional districts in the country. Obviously, the center of it is, the population center is Duluth, and contains sort of the Arrowhead there, the Iron Range. These are areas of the district. This is sort of the Democratic heart of the district. If you're a Democrat and you want to win, you've got to drive up voter turnout in the Duluth area and certainly in northeastern Minnesota. But it also includes, the southern end of the district includes sort of suburban communities of people who commute into Minneapolis or St. Paul. And this has always sort of been part of the district, but sort of the Twin Cities have come out to meet the 8th district these days. And these communities skew Republican. Then out on the western end of the district, you have the Brainerd area and sort of those regions, which have been traditionally Republican for some time. So it's very big. It's ideologically diverse. You have a lot of different sectors going on, from mining to timber, shipping, and other stuff. So there's a whole lot going on.
Sam, when you say that this is one of the most expensive races in the country, what makes it expensive? Does that mean advertising, or are there a lot of things that go into the cost?
Yeah, so I guess it depends on how you define expensive. Most organizations will say that this constitutes outside spending from partisan groups running advertisements. The Republicans and the Democrats have their campaign arms, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the National Republican Congressional Committee, and they will run the ads that you see sort of hour after hour on TV. This costs a lot of money, especially if you're buying. They have to buy in the Duluth media market as well as the Minneapolis media market to kind of reach those voters on the southern end of the district, like we talked about. So those ads cost a lot of money, and it sort of has an arms race effect. If one group, a Democratic group, for example, takes out a big ad buy, well, the Republicans don't want to be outspent, so they match. And, it sort of keeps snowballing. And sort of adding fuel to the fire there is that the House map favors Democrats this cycle, and the 8th district is one of the few places nationally where Republicans feel like they can knock off an incumbent. So that puts a little added pressure on them to sort of spend heavily here and potentially get a win at least on Tuesday night. If they lose some seats elsewhere in the country, they might be able to at least pick one up here in Minnesota.
Now, with the advertising that comes from outside sources, does the Nolan campaign or the Mills campaign have any say in what the content or what is released in those ads?
Yeah, nope, not at all. They cannot coordinate at all with any of the outside groups doing ads. So it sort of creates this interesting climate where you saw this last time where Democratic organizations ran all those ads against Mills, sort of attacking him for his wealth, and had the famous one where he's on his yacht and grilling lobster. And that ad still gets people angry. Even DFLers say that was sort of out of line. But Nolan can say, well, I didn't approve it. I don't like it. I'm not talking to this group. So it does give them a little cover. And in districts around the country, you'll hear that commonly from candidates being like, I don't like how negative these ads are, but they have no control over them. But still, it's hard to argue that these ads don't in some way shape perception and perhaps move the needle for one candidate or another.
So, Sam, do you get prepared for a day like tomorrow? What's it like to be a political reporter and almost at election day? Do you get a lot of extra sleep? Or
No, I don't think so. I'm told that St. Louis County tends not to like finish tallying their votes until well after midnight. I'll be here in Washington, so I'm assuming it's going to be a late night for me. So I'm just going to stockpile some coffee and some snacks and just see how it goes. But, you know, it's going to be a whole lot of information coming out at the same time. But I think certainly reporters join the rest of the country and looking forward to this election to wrap it up here.
Well, will there be things going on MinnPost during the returns tomorrow night?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd encourage folks to go to our homepage where we're going to have a dashboard that sort of processes real-time voting results that we get from the Secretary of State's office. So we'll have some of those key congressional races spotlighted, and we'll have some of the state house contests that are competitive also on the site as well. So it'll kind of be sort of a one-stop place where you can check out what's happening. I'll be covering and writing stories based on the results as they come in, and some of my colleagues will be attending the parties, the DFL and the Republican parties, sort of election night bashes, and reporting from there. So we'll have a lot of stuff to check out.
Okay. Well, before we go, tell us what you found out in Hinckley at the Cinnamon Caramel Roll Capital, Toby's. You talked to people there about the presidential race.
I sure did. You know, I figured, where could I find people from around the state in one place? And immediately it was Toby's that came to mind, and I talked to some folks from Duluth and from Minneapolis and from the Iron Range, and almost to a person, they were all sick and tired of this presidential election. They were sick and tired of the congressional ads. A lot of the folks I talked to live in the 8th District, where they're subjected to the Nolan ads and the Mills ads, and they were just ready to get their cinnamon rolls and go home. And I talked to one lady who was just done with it, had decided who she was voting for, got her cinnamon rolls, and was going home to watch the Vikings game. And that was, I think that was it for her. So I think it really drives home how, you know, elections aren't always, you know, fun and rainbows. But this election, I think, for folks has been particularly anxiety provoking, has been draining, and there's just a pretty common sense that folks are just ready to get it over with.
You can follow Sam Brody on election night and read his work at minpost.com. Sam, thanks so much.
Yeah, good to talk to you both. Thanks.